John Bunyan was baptized in 1655. 5 years later, he was arrested for preaching without a license and the approval of the Anglican Church. He spent more than 12 years in prison. While serving those 12 years for preaching the gospel, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. A devout preacher, Bunyan sought throughout his life to walk in Christ's footsteps and wrote in his autobiography that he fought temptation. One morning, as I did lie in bed, I was, as at other times, most fiercely assaulted with this temptation to sell and part with Christ. The wicked suggestion still running in my mind, sell him, sell him. Now, Bunyan wrote a lot of other Christian books and articles, and he sought purity in all of life. And yet, like us, he struggled. Even as sincere as he was, even he was not free from an attitude of self-satisfaction. He was told once that he had preached well that morning, and he answered sadly, "The devil already told me that as I was coming down the pulpit steps." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This morning we will look at this beatitude, what it means to be pure in heart, and what it means to see God. The Greek word for pure has many meanings. Early on, it simply meant clean, as in clothes that had been washed. It was used of wheat that had been sifted until the chaff had blown away. It was used of armies that removed incompetent soldiers, the ones who were cowards or who were unwilling to serve. It was even used of milk or wine that had not been diluted with water. So eventually, the word came to mean unmixed, unadulterated, without spot. As William Barclay puts it, "Blessed is the man whose motives are always entirely unmixed, for that man shall see God." This beatitude demands much. It requires that we investigate our motives. And if we are honest with ourselves, we rarely do anything with unmixed motives. Are we acting out of a desire for self-promotion or recognition? Is our tithing done merely to make us feel good? Are we attending church because outwardly we wish the public to believe we are Christian, while inwardly we are as the Pharisees, whitewashed tombs? The Pharisees obsessed over the observance of thousands of rules that they added to God's word. Their desire was to achieve purity, but they went about it in the wrong way. Outwardly, they looked pure, but inwardly, their hearts were unchanged. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of extortion and self-exaltations. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Matthew 23:25-28. If we are to be pure, our actions cannot be merely for appearance sake. Our actions must be transparent. In whatever we do, God's glory should be seen. We should not have a trumpeter go before us to announce our good deeds. We should expect no applause. Whatever we do, we should do it for one reason only: to faithfully serve our Heavenly Father and others. As a child growing up, my piano teacher was a simply homely-looking woman. Her teeth were jagged, some were missing. Her clothes were threadbare. And sometimes she didn't smell the best. Yet around town, the elderly people saw her as a saint. She regularly stopped by to trim their toenails and massage their feet. She cleaned the church building, never asking for a cent. She was nearly invisible as far as the congregation was concerned. If the two other pianists were gone, Sylvia would step in at the last moment and play. And she played beautifully. The church would be hushed as her songs carried us ever closer to God. I did not know until many years after I left home that Sylvia had won a prestigious piano competition as a young woman. In fact, she had won out over both of the other women who played for church and led the choir. They would often bicker over who was right regarding the timing of a musical selection or who should play for a special event. Sylvia never belittled. She never criticized, choosing instead to serve quietly. She could have made a grand living from her piano lessons, but she chose instead to charge 50 cents per hour lesson because she knew that many of her students, like my sister and me, could afford nothing more. Truly an example of humility. Her motives were to serve God and man and no one else. If we are to fully understand the meaning of pure in heart, we must look at how the authors of Scripture defined the heart. The heart was seen as the center of the personality. It included the mind, the will, and the emotions. The heart is who we are. It holds our secret thoughts. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. Matthew 12:33-34. Our hearts are what Jesus wants. Our will, our minds, our emotions. What we are deep down, behind the facade of goodness or charity. Jesus didn't come for the healthy. He came for all whose hearts are blackened with sin and need purified. We are to be pure to the very center of our being. Jesus said that if we are pure in heart, we will see Him. We will all see God on Judgment Day. But this passage signifies more. We tend to recognize only what we know. If I have a neighbor that I have never met, I certainly will not recognize her on the street. Barclay talks about looking up at the stars. To the average person, the stars are merely tiny little pinpoints of light. But the astronomer calls them by name. Now, several years before I met Ron, I dated a man. I learned later he actually ran cross-country with Ron at Abilene High School. And he called the stars by name. He could look up at the heavens and tell you each of the constellations. He was well acquainted with each and every orb in the sky. And that is how we should see God. In every star, every leaf, every mountain, every newborn baby, we should see Christ. Wherever we look, we should see the work of the Master Designer. If we know Him, we will recognize Him and glorify His name. We will see Him all around us. In this wonderful book by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Studies on the Sermon on the Mount, it reads, "I suggest, therefore, that purity in the heart means something like this. As with all the other Beatitudes, the promise is partly fulfilled here and now. In a sense, there is a vision of God even while we are in this world. Christian people can see God in a sense that nobody else can. The Christian can see God in nature, whereas the non-Christian cannot. The Christian sees God in the events of history. There is a vision possible to the eye of faith that no one else has. But there is a seeing also in the sense of knowing Him, a sense of feeling that He is near and enjoying His presence." You remember what we are told about Moses in the great 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Moses endured as seeing Him who is invisible. That is part of it, and that is something that is possible to us here and now. Blessed are the pure in heart. Imperfect as we are, we can claim that even now we are seeing God in that sense. We are seeing Him who is invisible. Another way we see Him is in our own experience, in His gracious dealings with us. Do we not say we see the hand of the Lord upon us in this and that? That is part of seeing God. We must remember that it is only by God's grace that we can keep our hearts pure, but we can daily analyze our motives. We can look deep within and ask God to help us remove selfish desires, to draw us ever closer to purity. We can ask that He help us become transparent so that He can be more visible. When we pray, we can pray, "Let them see You in me. Let them hear You when I speak. Let them feel You when I sing. Let them see You. Let them see You."
You've been listening to Jenny Strait at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.